So it's important to read the Gospels because then you can see the differences that happen sometimes between various passages and various stories. So we heard two Sundays ago, or I'm in a mental time lapse, I can't remember when, but Jesus sends out his disciples in Luke's Gospel. And he gives them those long lists of, you know, take no sandal, blah, blah, blah. And one of those moments, though, the disciples happenstance just wandered among a Samaritan village trying to prepare the way of the Lord. They reject Jesus and they send him on his way. And then the disciples, James and John, listed here, say, should we send down fire and brimstone on them? And Jesus tells them to back off, and then he just keeps on walking. Today's gospel, Jesus gives them the explicit instructions not to go to the Gentiles and not to go to Samaritans. So this might seem kind of strange, because of course it seems as if Jesus, you know, he should be for all the people, and indeed he is. But that happens after the resurrection. So in Matthew's gospel, Jesus focuses, in a sense, on the people of Israel first. Then after his mission is accomplished, after the resurrection, then he commissions them at the end of the gospel to go out into all the nations, proclaiming the good news and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So from whence does this shift happen? Well, I think there's a number of different theological and scriptural explanations, but the first is that Jesus has to renew Israel first. But on another practical and pastoral level, you do, in a sense, need to figure out your own house first. The disciples need to preach to their own first to figure out the one fundamental lesson that is necessary: repentance. You need to know how far you need to go and where, in a sense, you screwed up before you can start going to other people. Because one of the things that can happen really quickly is if you too quickly go and do the advanced lessons before you do the foundationals, you can really screw it up. There's no point in learning trigonometry until you've figured out arithmetic. And until you've figured out arithmetic, don't waste your time with the hard stuff. So it's the same thing about going out to all the nations. It's a good thing, in a sense, that missionaries want to take care of their own people. But it's also a sign that they're not ready yet for a more international mission, because some of their own internal problems have not yet been dealt with. The apostles have to learn from experience, the way, not only in which you can't learn the way in which God is going to fulfill the covenant until you've learned how Israel has failed in the covenant. It's very important. So the disciples learn from the experience of preaching that, in a sense, things have not gone well. And one of the important things in terms of preaching and empathy is realizing that there's two most dangerous things in the world. The second most difficult thing in the world is realizing that your dreams have not come true or will never come true, right? It's a horrifying, saddening experience when you hoped and you hoped and you hoped for things to turn out, and they never did. The most terrifying of all is for your dreams to come true and to realize they were insufficient. That's the first reading. People of Israel built up and built up and built up and thought they were growing and thought they were developing. But when you get what you want and you realize it doesn't satisfy, then it leads to a more profound despair than those who merely suffer lack. This is why depression and pain are more powerful among the wealthy than they are among the poor. The poor can say to themselves, if I just had a full stomach and a good job and I lived relatively well, then I would be happy. So then maybe they come to Canada, they have full bellies, they live in a peaceful society, they live relatively secure, and then they realize they're still miserable, and now they have no one to blame. This is why God sometimes removes himself from the world. Because if God is always present, one of the things that can always happen, the same thing happens with parenting, is the kids can blame the parents for their children's, for their own misfortunes. Right? It's mom and dad's fault that I screwed up. It's my neighbor's fault that these bad things happened. And one of the profound things that happened in Western Europe in the last few centuries is our culture started to blame Christianity for many of its social ills. And in many ways, I don't entirely blame them. The gospel or the church were often used as a way of protecting ourselves, Western Europeans, by the way, protecting themselves from actually an examination of conscience. They would say, well, you know, this is the way it works, or blah, 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 blah. Very dangerous stuff. But the problem is that, of course, guys like Voltaire or the major philosophers who wanted to destroy the church, they would say, well, the simple answer is, the moment we get rid of religion, the moment we get rid of God, the moment we get rid of all this stuff, everything is going to work out. Well, we have now hopefully learned just a little bit that, of course, if you were to remove religion, then everything would get better. It didn't. So maybe the problem went somewhere deeper. So going back to the beginning of the 20th century, we had our today's martyr, Saint Maria Goretti. She was 12 years old when she was killed.